Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
The wisdom test. How many like tests? How many are glad you don't go to school anymore, so there's never a test again, right? At least that type of test that we think of. And so anyway, if I could get the house lights, please, I want to look at some faces this morning that are smiling. Amen? All right, so I want to talk to you about the wisdom test. And I thought to myself this week, as I had already mentioned, we were in D.C. and Robin was at this conference, taking in her conference during the day. And on Wednesday, I used that as a study day, and I was sitting in our hotel room overlooking the city from our room. We could see the National Cathedral, so I thought about all the events that had you know, in the course of that building had taken place, all the presidents that had walked into that cathedral and were a part of services there and funerals that were there of people of prominence. And I thought, how ironic that I'm preparing for this message on wisdom, and here I sit in this city that has been shaped by some of the greatest speeches. A week ago Monday, we sat at the bottom of the Lincoln Memorial, and I thought of Dr. Martin Luther King's famous speech, I have a dream, excuse me. I thought of, as I walked down the stairs of the Capitol on Friday, holding on to the rail, I thought about all the hands of the presidents that held on to that rail as they made their way out into their inaugurational address. All the wisdom that has been demonstrated, all the wisdom that has been lived on those streets of D.C., walked through Arlington Cemetery and saw the tombstones of brilliant strategic military leaders. I know sometimes we question the wisdom that flows out of Washington, right? At least I do at times, but it fits so well into this discussion that we're having today from James. Let me ask you a question. What is wisdom? What does it mean to be wise? There are two words, or there are two kinds of wisdom in life. There's the wisdom of the word, and then there's the wisdom of the world, and the only difference between those two words is one letter, and it's the letter L. If you drop the L out of world, you get the wisdom of the word, and that is what we need to have, and that is what we need to operate in our life. And I like what James so often does as he's getting ready to change the course of a conversation. He asks a question. And James does that for us in James chapter 3, verse 13. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" And here's the problem. Too often we think that wisdom is something from the neck up. And James says, I don't agree with that. It's not from the neck up. There's an old saying that goes, there's a lot of people who are going to meet or are going to miss heaven by a foot. Because they totally operate out of the mindset of up here, and the wisdom that God wants to dispel within or deposit within us flows from here. James is going to describe for us not the wisdom from a textbook, but the wisdom of a life that is displayed through its conduct and by the output of its life. And so the wisdom of the world isn't so much a matter of your lips as it is a matter of your life and your heart. It's not so much our words as it is our works. It's not our diploma as much as it is our disposition. Wisdom is something that we live out in our lifestyle. And if you want to examine the level of wisdom in a person's life, it's not, you won't find that out by if they are asking intellectual questions. I mean, we were on the plane flying out last week, and from our second leg of the trip, there was some guys that they were college students. They were debaters. They were in the seat right behind us, in the row right behind us. And so I just reclined early in that trip because I wanted to listen to them. These guys, these young men were brilliant. I mean, they were just bam, 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 bam. And I was like, man, there's wisdom right there in row 29, B, C, and D. But that's not what we're looking at. How many know you can be full of knowledge? You can be a wise person with earthly wisdom. You can accomplish some incredible things, lead really well, be sharp, be successful, but have a messed up life. Let me illustrate it this way. There are individuals that can fly passenger jets. You can tell I've been away and been, you know, traveling this last week because all my illustrations today are coming from my trip, right? All right, so you can be a pilot of an airline that is full of 200 people, instrument panels all around you, and be strategic and knowledgeable on how to fly that plane and be able to land it with everyone arriving at their destination safely, but totally nosedive your life because you lack wisdom in how you live your life. Knowledge versus wisdom. Scripture's counsel for us is this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. See, what's the difference? I would describe it this way. Knowledge enables you to take things apart and put them back together. Wisdom enables us to put things together and relate God's truth to our daily life. And so that's why today's text is so important. Look at it with me, if you will. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By this conduct, let him show his works, his meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. James isn't talking about advancement in understanding, but in the conduct of our life, because for James, it should be for us, the greatest realities in our life aren't the temporal realities that you and I will experience today, and you and I will experience tomorrow on June 3rd, and you and I will experience next Monday on June 10th, and on through the calendar year. The greatest realities are the eternal realities. So James gives us advice. He says, get wisdom so you can understand those realities. So let me ask you this question. Who is wise and understanding among us this morning? You're like, I'm not answering that. You loaded that. That's a loaded question, Steve. I think in this room there is some wisdom, and I think in this room there is some understanding. Maybe not all of us, but I believe that it's here. So how are we going to do this today? What I want to do, I'm going to give you a test, all right? And there's five questions to this test that we're going to look at today, all coming from the book of James. You don't have to turn anything in. You don't have to put it on your bulletin and turn it. We're not going to take the ushers aren't going to come around in a little bit and pick up your test or anything like that. But we're going to walk through this. There's no paper. There's no records. We don't put secret cameras up here looking down on how you answer these. This is just between you and the Lord. So the test is based upon the description of godly wisdom that James gives us in verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So, are you ready for the test? You're going to get it anyway, so you might as well say yes. All right? So, here's the first question to the test. How reliable are you? Question number one for your test, how reliable are you? Look back at verse 14, and you see that one of the characteristics of the world's wisdom is that it denies the truth. Well, Steve, what does that have to do with reliability? The wisdom of the world cares nothing about integrity. At the end of the day, see, how can you say that? I say that because this, without God, Without God, at the core of who you are, at the core of who we are as a people, without God, you can't have integrity. Because you don't have a definition of right or wrong if you remove God from the equation. Because for you to have a definition of right and wrong requires for there to be a truth, requires for there to be an absolute truth, and there is one only absolute truth, and that is the God of all truth. So you need truth. And the wisdom of the world uses information to advance its own cause. So some of you know that very well. Some of you are in the marketplace on a daily basis. Your job puts you around people. And some of those people that you interact with, whether on a daily basis or periodically, are pitted against you and have absolutely no standards for the things they do or say. Do you know someone like that? I mean, they're just like, hey, let's do it this way. But hey, we can't do it that way because that's not right. But they're like, let's do it this way. At times, you may feel like you're at a disadvantage because you're committed to integrity and you're committed to wholeness and to Christ, living a life that's Christ-honoring. And all around you are individuals like that is not on their radar. They're just looking out for their sales quota. They're just looking out for themselves. I mean, I worked at a place when I was in Bible college that was full of students that were at a different Bible. They went to a different Bible college than I went to, but it was a marketing job. It was a sales job. And I heard them day after day telling lies on the phone so that they could hit their sales quota. I'm like, you can't do that. A person who is living without a commitment to God has no reason to care about truth. They use truth selectively to advance their own cause. Note, the first characteristic of godly wisdom, according to verse 7, is that it's pure. Let's talk about it. What's it mean? It means it is absolutely reliable to the core. It is holy as God is holy. It is wisdom that is reliable and clean. There's nothing under the surface. It's all up front. There's nothing hidden. I mean, if you open up the closet of your life, you're like, go on in, look, it's going to be really boring, and you're going to be really disappointed because there's nothing there. A man who has God's wisdom, a woman who has God's wisdom, can be counted on to be what he says, to be what she says they are. Now, let me ask you, as we unpack this first question, do you give people reason to doubt your integrity? Let me ask you, how reliable are you? You want to know how wise you are? Ask yourself, how reliable am I? Do I come through with what I'm going to say I'm going to do? Do you have integrity in your heart? Who are you when you're all alone? Because how many know you're really never all alone, right? I mean, you think you may be totally removed from everybody, but you're not alone. Case in point, we sat in Chicago O'Hare Airport last Sunday, late afternoon. It's an airport that serves over 250,000 people every day pass through that airport. That's a lot of people. And we're sitting there, however many miles removed from Wichita. And we sit down on a bench and we're drinking our Starbucks coffee, just sitting there. And I look down the hallway there, down the walkway, and I'm like, that kid looks familiar. Don't really think about it. Take another drink. Maybe it's my coffee. No, look again, and there it is. I know him. And I look beyond him, and there's a pastor from Valley Center. And I'm like, dude. He's like, dude. And I'm like, it's just coffee. Just kidding. I didn't say that. But just a case in point, right? No matter how you live your life, be whole, be a person of integrity, so that even when you're 600 miles away from your hometown and you're in a place that you don't think you're going to know anybody, you don't think you're going to see anybody that you know, and if you do, you're like, how's it going, man? There is nothing to hide. There's nothing to be ashamed of because I'm whole. That's freedom. If people connect your timeline with your words, do they find congruency? Why is that important? See, why is that a big deal? Listen to the words of Dr. Carolyn Leaf, She was one of the speakers at the LeaderCast that we hosted a couple of weeks, a lover. In her book, Switch on Your Brain, she writes this. Listen to this. This is why this is a big deal. Your heart is in constant communication with your brain and the rest of your body, checking the accuracy and integrity of your thought life. As you are about to make a decision, your heart pops in a quiet word of advice. It is well worth listening to that advice, because when you listen to your heart, it secretes the ANF, a hormone produced by the heart that regulates blood pressure and can give you a feeling of peace. Integrity, wholeness. It's awesome. When you think about how reliable are you, and being a reliable person, how it helps you and it brings peace into your life. Second question on our test today is, how relational are you? William Barclay, a biblical scholar, said this: you can tell how a man's relationship with God is by looking at how his relationship with other people is. If a person is at disagreement with others, if they're quarrelsome, if they're competitive to a fault, if they're a troublemaker, because how many of you guys are competitive? I am. We're playing spoons. I'm going to beat you, or I'm going to break your spoon so you can't beat me. One of the two. Either way, I win, right? No, but I'm just competitive. I'm that type of a person, so I have to be very careful and not let that go too far. A troublemaker or one-upping, I mean, if that's you, I got to outdo somebody. I'm always argumentative. If he or she would have a good reason to, if that is how that person conducts their life, disagreeing all the time, quarrelsome, competitive, if that's how a person conducts their life, then I think it's fair to question the vitality of their faith, because how many know it's hard to love God and love others if I'm always competing against you and trying to one-up you? If he's divided from his fellow man because of an attitude or a conduct, then loving thy neighbor gets really difficult. That's what James is pointing out. Look at it in verse 14. James tells us how the wisdom of the world operates, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. The wisdom of the world operates with a bitterness and a selfishness. It moves by seeking its own interests. Always has to be right. Always about their way. Have you ever met someone that was so argumentative that they won't even eat anything that doesn't agree with them? I mean, they're just always fighting about whatever, and they're just like, man, I'm not even gonna try that because it might not agree with me. Kind of remove, you know, if we live that way and we're so combative in our relationships, how many know we become blind to what's going on around us? We become blind to this, like this. I want to show you a video clip real quick. So in locked, so worried about winning the battle before them that they're blind to what's coming upon them. Check it out. Boom. Isn't that a great picture? I mean, you could use that in so many different ways. But it speaks to us in such a profound way that if I'm like so engaged and I have to one up and I got to beat my neighbor and I got to have my kids have to be better than this kid's and I have to be the best pastor or whatever your profession is, and I'm always worried about being better and one upping somebody, I'm not even aware that the enemy is closing in on me and he's going to take me out. What's the alternative to that? Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure and then peaceable. Scripture tells us that when we have God's wisdom, we are peacemakers. When Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and his wisdom takes over our lives, will we let it? Or will we be a woman or man who doesn't do that? You walk into a situation, Here's what we have, all right? Here's the opportunity that you have this week, that I have this week, that when you walk into a situation, you have opportunity to make that situation better. Because you are bringing the peace of Jesus into that situation. Because out of your heart flows the attributes of the Prince of Peace. I mean, you think about Jesus doing that all through his ministry. You just open up the Gospels, and it doesn't take you long to find examples of him walking into situations, encountering people, and this peace floods into this situation, and it impacts not just the individual, it impacts the crowd. So we have been asked, we've asked ourselves the question of how reliable, how relational are we? Next question, how reasonable are we? Or how reasonable are you? Verse 14 tells us that the wisdom of the world is to boast. It's the see me, notice me. This conversation is all about me type of person, right? And all, have you ever been in those conversations? You're just like, Oh, really? Tell me more about yourself because you haven't told me enough about yourself. Right? And you're like disengaged. You're ready to check out and you're ready to walk away from that conversation because your role in the conversation is just to listen, apparently. But if Scripture admonishes us not to boast about ourselves or draw attention to ourselves, and James counters the boasting trait with verse 17. Look at it. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason. The staff has been reading a book. Last month we read a book about Abraham Lincoln. And it was said of Abraham Lincoln, this strong man full of character and just treated people the same. It doesn't matter, didn't matter who they were. Described Abraham Lincoln this way. He was a man of velvet steel. That he was genuine, he was soft in how he answered, but he was uncompromising in how he answered. Some translations say that the characteristic of godly wisdom is consideration and submissiveness. How do you become that? I think part of the way that we become that is be a person who's willing to take counsel. Let others speak into your life. A follower of Jesus is operating in the wisdom of God, and not so to be filled up with your own opinions, but to draw attention to ourselves, but to learn from others, draw attention to God, and exalt Him. I came across this little cute poem. I thought I would share it with you because it so paints a picture. It's a prayer. This poem's a prayer. It says this: I thank you, Lord, for giving me terrific looks and a brilliant mind and a sparkling personality that is spiritually inclined. I love my kids, my Christian mate in Sunday school, our ranch-style house with a patio and solar-heated pool. I know my talents come from you. I'm praised for my angelic voice that sings and teaches weaker ones the way of the godly choice. And thanks for the prestigious job and giving me added gifts that in anything my pen jots down indeed becomes inspired script. You ought to bless every Christian. Some life seems to crumble. I'm so proud that you blessed me. I guess it's because I am so humble. How many know that's the wrong thinking, right? That's failing the test right there. The hard truth is, such an attitude can come so subtle into our lives. It can sneak into our lives in so many different ways. I mean, I've heard in times of prayer, different prayer settings that I've been in, it's like the individual praying isn't petitioning God. He's preaching to the crowd. And it's like, wait a minute. All of us in the room have room to grow. Amen? And all of us in the room have to deal with our pride. True? One more question. How real are you? James uses two words in verse 17 that are very much like alike in the Greek language. He says that wisdom comes from God. The wisdom that comes from God is impartial and sincere. And those two words are very close in the Greek language. They have, at the end of the word, the same meaning. It means this, to judge. When you are impartial to someone, when you're partial to someone, what do? You judge them. Not necessarily in a bad way. I mean, but when you're not sincere, when we aren't real, when we are hypocrites, we want others to judge us in a way that we should never be judged. Right? So we act a certain way because we don't want people to see, you know, the other part of us. And so we say, hey, if I can act this way and do this, then they won't ever think about asking about that over there. And I can trick them or I can be insincere with them. In the Greek theater of Paul's time when he's writing, or James' time when he's writing this epistle, one actor may play up to 4 or 5 different roles in the same play. And in order for those actors to play those various roles, what would they do? They would change the mask. It's where we get the word hypocrisy or hypocrite. And one of the tragedies of our day is that people, believers, aren't always authentic with each other. And I'm not necessarily talking about a life that's incongruent even with Scripture. I'm just talking about being authentic and genuine with each other in settings where we're sitting at a table in a few minutes eating dinner and someone, or eating barbecue, and someone asks you, so, hey, how you doing? How's everything going in your life, Bob? And often our response, our quick response, our I don't want to get into the mess response, I don't want you to really know about me response is, fine. Oh, the family's good. Over, man, life is hard. Struggling right now, I'm feeling empty. My family is pretty much psychotic. You want to know about my family? How much time do you have? You know? So we just settle for fine because we're afraid of what people will think if they do know. And we're worried that they'll think less of us. It's kind of serious in here this morning. I'm afraid that you're going to think less of me. Got my cat socks on that my sister gave me for Christmas. Don't judge me. Don't call me a hypocrite. Ned, the sisters, that's what they do to you. They just bring out the best in you. But we're worried that they'll think less of us. So we don't go there with people. How many of you know a church shouldn't be a place where we wear masks? Should be a place where, I know maybe we should put a sign that says out front, no masks allowed, just be you or something like that, I don't know. But our house is your house. It's a place where you want to go because life abounds and weights are lifted. It's a place where you can walk in and go, man, you know what, would you just pray for me right now? Like, would you pray for me right now because this past week, you know, was terrible? Or would you pray for me now? I need wisdom on how to handle this situation. Would you just, like, give me a word of encouragement because, man, my hair was not working for me today and I need some help. Just speak life into me. Do something. But where you can just be transparent and real. It isn't about living up to people's expectation. It's about coming to Jesus and resting in him. Because the reality is, I know this, as a pastor and as a human being, I'm not going to meet everyone's expectation. And neither are you. You're not even going to meet your spouse's expectation all the time. But hopefully, they're like, hey, there's grace for you because I know I do the same thing. Godly wisdom says, we're glad you're here. So we've asked 4 questions. Let me give you one more. Last question. There's no bonus points with this one or anything like that. Is how much results are produced from your life? The end result of wisdom of this world is verse 16. Disorder and evil practice. How can you tell what wisdom you're operating in. Look at the results of what's being produced. Look, the wisdom of the world produces disorder and evil, verse 16. The wisdom of God produces mercy, good fruit, and peace, verse 17. Let me ask you a question. What wisdom would it make more sense that you would operate out of? The wisdom of God. What wisdom is being produced in our life? What wisdom do you want produced in your life? God's wisdom is compassionate. That's what mercy is. It's full of fruit. And what does fruit do? Fruit reproduces itself, right? I mean, it reproduces itself in your kids, in your home, in your coworkers, your friends. Maybe when you walk into a room, as you walk in, maybe as you walk into that room, whether it be in your home or whether it be at your workplace or at your school, that you walk into that room and there's just this peace that fills the room. Can that happen? Absolutely, it can happen. That can happen just as the other can happen when someone walks in the room. It's just like, uh-oh, something just walked in the room and it feels really chaotic in here right now. So that's the test of wisdom. Let me ask you, how'd you do? What do you see? What do you do? Here's what I would admonish you to do. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Pray for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5, we've already addressed that passage of scripture in an earlier message, but James tells us to do that. Pray for wisdom. Steve, how would you want prayer? Steve, pray for wisdom. God, give Pastor Steve wisdom. Lord, I know he needs it. I know you know he needs it. Give him wisdom. Give him joy. Psalms 90, verse 12 says this, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Oh God, teach me to live wisely. Teach me to live well. Make it a priority in your life that wisdom will impact others. Steve, where else do I get wisdom? Go to the Word of God. Colossians, Paul writes to the Colossians, your word is rich in wisdom. I can remember when I first came to faith in Christ, I would read one proverb a day. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, so for years, that's what I did as part of my devotion time. Recently, I've kind of got away from it, but I'm like, man, I need to get back to that because your word is wisdom. Secondly, get in relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the source of true wisdom. And as we head to the closing this morning, as we talk about relationship with Jesus, reminds me, let me just close it up this way. There's a story of a young sailor. He was eager to learn, was just ambitious, and finally got the opportunity, was given permission to lead the ship. And so he began to demonstrate his abilities to get the ship out of the harbor. He was working skillfully, at ease, with excitement, with efficiency, getting that ship ready to leave the harbor. And as it was heading out to sea, he was brought a message from the captain. And the message to this young sailor was this: my personal congratulations on completing your underway preparation exercise according to the book with amazing speed. But in your haste, you have overlooked one of the unwritten rules. Make sure the captain is aboard before getting underway. And you know what? That's a lot. You see that a lot of times, people doing just that with their life. They've been efficient with their life. They've done things well and with great speed, with great haste, but they've left the captain off the ship. And there'll come a time when they're going to need the wisdom of the captain to guide their ship. And the wisdom and the captain, the ultimate captain, is King, is Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you've never let Jesus be your Lord and the captain of your ship, if I can use that to describe your life, then it's time to let the captain have his place in your life. Would you bow your heads with me?
Everybody dance. Everybody. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.